Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here yet for another episode as we bring this show to you monthly. Don't forget our hot off the press episodes as well. Possibly you'll see some of our great FSHD Society volunteer and leadership and people within the office that are kind of giving us what is new. So those episodes are out there as well. And of course, our great long show type episodes that we have one in store for you today, which we really want to kind of, you know, bring people to the forefront, either that have FSHD or within the research world, or maybe outliers of people that maybe could help us cope a little bit with this disease. And how do we overcome, and how do we continue our lives regardless of diagnosis and having to deal with this type of muscular dystrophy, and kind of inspire us a little bit. That's part of what I love about being a host of this great platform that I have for so many years, is that the awesome opportunity it is to meet these great, great human beings that I probably would not normally have run into or had conversations with. So I'm grateful for this platform and to be able to bring these people to you as well to kind of share within these conversations. Today is going to be one of those conversations, I believe. We have Lauren Spencer. She goes by Lolo. I don't know if anybody knows who this person is. If you don't, you are going to want to completely dive into everything she's about from here forward. If you don't know her, if you do know her, you're super excited because her energy and positivity is absolutely incredible. So welcome, Lauren. Thanks for spending some time here on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I love those kind of intros because I'm like, oh my gosh, are you excited to talk to me?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And like, and as we said before, hit the old record button, you know, okay, Lauren, I really didn't know who you were, you know, before this. But I'm excited now because I do know, and
I love it.
I checked out your YouTube and I was looking at the ebook a little bit, you know, and what that was about and the website. I'm like, oh my gosh, this person is, I'm like, is she for real? Like, like really? So, but we got to back up, right? Because people are like, okay, so this Lauren Spencer, what is so awesome about this person outside of the fact that, you know, she's got this positive vibe and energy. So tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from and what's your deal?
Yeah. You know, so I'm originally from Stockton, California. It's kind of like a smaller town in the northern part of the state. Born and raised there, humble beginnings from a huge family. My mom is one of eight siblings. So I have a ton of cousins and grew up with everybody. We all just grew up together. And because of the small town vibe, it's like even your friends at school, everyone knows each other and our parents grew up with each other. It's like a whole generational circle thing. And so, yeah, just grew up in Stockton. And then I was diagnosed with ALS at 14. Since then, the diagnosis has been up in question. So that's why I like to just more so just say muscular dystrophy at this point.
Yeah,
because I am a person that's a very firm believer in the power of words. And so I don't ever want to own anything that hasn't actually been proven to me, in a sense, right? Okay. So, that's kind of like how I go about it. But, you know, since 14, my body has been changing. I've lost, you know, muscle strength and muscle mass. And now I'm predominantly a wheelchair user. I still have the ability to ambulate in small spaces. But for the most part, that's what it is. And then moved to LA at 19, been here ever since. I'll be 36 in July. I'll be 36 in July. And yeah, I've just really been on this quest since 2015 now of really showcasing disability lifestyle in what I like to call the fun, fly, sexy kind of way, and just really advocating for the community in a way where it breaks stereotypes and it creates that bridge between the disabled and non-disabled people to just have a better understanding of what our lifestyles really is about, versus all of the stereotypes and the conditionings that haven't really served our community overall. So that's just kind of my mission. Just doing a little.
So that's not a big mission at all.
Just a little, you know, thing.
Yeah. You're biting off a lot. I like that. Right. I mean, that is a big undertaking. But so you said that you kind of a couple of words, you know, stuck out to me. Quest was one of them, right? You started this quest when you were 19. But within that, as you started that quest, I mean, you're into fashion, actress.
Yes.
I mean, that's like really diving in and you have the personality. And I can't see the complete style of what was going on there. And I'm not a fashion connoisseur by any means, but if you follow her on her website and social media and whatnot, you're going to see that she is definitely into fashion. So tell us about that quest. What made you then get into the fashion and into acting?
So I've actually always loved fashion. I've always been into clothes, you know, but because of my disability, there were just certain clothes that I felt like I could never really actually wear, because I'm like, it's not going to look the same because I have to sit down in my wheelchair. Right. So, and with certain pieces like tops, because, you know, I don't have much arm strength either, certain tops, I couldn't, you know, little zippers and buttons, and I have nails. So it's like, it doesn't make it any easier either, right?
Right.
So I'm like, fashion is so hard. It's so confusing. But it wasn't until I met my really good friend and my stylist, Stephanie Thomas. She specializes in dressing people with disabilities. And so it was because of her that my scope of fashion and the possibilities of how I can dress just exploded. And so between her and I, we're constantly collaborating on my looks and what to wear. And she's really opened my eyes of what the possibilities are for me to be able to be the fashion girl that I always dreamt of myself in my head to be, you know? And so it's been a beautiful journey and an incredible journey. And we're constantly talking about fashion. What is the next look? What are we going to do next? How are we going to shake up the world? How are we going to blow people's minds this time? And so it's been an amazing relationship with fashion and having Stephanie by my side through that journey. And then with acting, you know, that was something that really I was not expecting to do. I wasn't looking forward to it. I didn't want no parts of it.
Really?
Honestly, it wasn't even a thing that crossed my brain to do. I actually got my degree in TV production with an emphasis in video editing. So my initial passion was to be behind the scenes. I liked messing around with footage and coming up with videos, right? But as I started to grow my YouTube channel and my visibility on my YouTube channel, you know, I got a call from my agent at the time. It was like, hey, there's these indie filmmakers who's looking for a young Black girl who's a wheelchair user. Would you want to try to audition? And I was like, well, you know, if the shoe fits, why not? And that's really what happened. And I guess this natural gift and talent for acting really started to show itself. And I've been doing it ever since.
Now, then that indie film, is that the Give Me Liberty film in 2019, right?
Yes, that was my very first film, very first acting job.
Really?
First everything, yep.
That was your first acting job?
Yeah, it was my first acting job.
That came out of you very, very natural. Yeah, I mean, there's I watched the film. It is funny. There's part, and it's like sad too in spot, of course. But your particular character you play has got such fire, you know, and wit, and there was a moment in the film. I don't want to give it all away because I want everybody to go watch it. But
yeah,
there's that moment where you're kind of like in like a field, right? And everybody's kind of left you, and you're like, your chair is like just there, like has failed on you. You're like, hello. It was just this. It's like it was a buildup, and then yeah, and you have those little moments on there where that wit comes through.
Yeah.
What was that like then, being your first acting experience, being within it, you know, being in that creation process?
Yeah. Well, luckily I was able to, the thing about indie films, right, is there's a lot of touch and go. There's like, right. Oh, we're about to shoot it. Oh no, sorry. We have to get more money. Oh, we're about to shoot it. So luckily for me, we had a couple of years of pre-production process. So I was able to do constant calls and discussions with the director, Kirill Mikanovsky, and our producer, Alice Austin. And we would build the character of Tracy more and more and more. And I would tell them, you know, about personal experiences, and they would shoot out an idea. And I would tell them like, well, in order to make that feel more authentic to the experience, I think we should approach it like this. And they were completely open, and very similar on Sex Lives too, is being completely open to wanting to get it right. And that was really important. And that made my job as a first-time actor 10 times easier, because I didn't have to worry about the politics of, can I say this? Can I not say that? I don't want to offend the, you know, I didn't have to deal with all of that. So it was incredible being able to have those conversations with them. So by the time I actually did end up getting on set, I felt comfortable with them. And then I felt comfortable with sharing my voice. And I felt confident in knowing that their goal was to get it as authentic and right to the disability experience as it was for me to get it right and make sure we stay authentic in the story. And it just made the process a lot easier in that sense. And I was just able to tap into my own personal experiences, figure out where the character of Tracy and I actually related and were very similar. And then being able to find those moments where there were differences between us, because I had to know, like, I'm not actually really Tracy in real life. So
right. Yeah, yeah. There's differences, right?
Yeah.
That's where the true acting comes out. So then that means you had no, you know, schooling within acting or anything.
No, I was only able to squeeze in like maybe 4 or 5 acting classes before actually filming, because it was such touch and go. I was like, well, I don't know if they're really making it. So I kind of was just like, we'll see. And right. Then when they got serious, I was like, oh no, I got to do my part now. Let me hurry up and get to some acting. Real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just got real.
So then talk about the transition, right? You went from 2019 getting involved with that film and that role, and then now within the role that you play on the Sex Lives of College Girls. I've not seen episodes of this. I know of the show because this is on HBO, right?
Yeah, HBO Max.
Yes, HBO Max. And that's how I know it, because I have it, and it's like it always runs through that I should click and watch.
Yes, because you should click and watch.
I should click and watch. So everybody else, don't do what I do. Don't follow me. Click and watch. But tell us a little bit about the character you play there.
Yeah, so Jocelyn is probably as opposite of Tracy as it can get. Yeah. Jocelyn is, she is a fun freshman. She's one of the girls who is on the same dorm room floor as the main suite mates of our show, the leads of our show. And Jocelyn is this fun, sexy, the wit is still there. The wit is always there, but she's witty. She's honest. She's straight to the point. She's no holds bar. And she's probably one of the more like sex positive girls characters on the show. She's very comfortable in her sexuality, and she doesn't hide from it. She is the it girl on campus. If you want to know where the party is at, they go talk to Jocelyn. If you want to know what happened with the drama between different characters, Jocelyn knows what's going on. And so yeah, it's just so much fun playing her. She's the first one inside of the naked party. That's an episode. It's
now
it's
we all have to click this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta check it out.
So that's kind of the premise of the show, right? It's young college girls starting in their college life, living in that life. And they get you kind of get to see a peek of what that's about. Use the term sex positive.
Yeah.
I'm a good guy. You disclosed your age and you're going to be 36 in July. I'm going to be, 48 in July. So
nice.
there's definitely a difference, right, between the two of us in age, not to mention male, female, et cetera. So, you know, explain to me as a, you know, what would you describe then is that term of sex positive?
So for me, when I use the word sex positive, I think of it from the perspective of someone who is completely confident in their sexuality and talking about sex overall, right? Because sex is more than just the act, right? There's health behind it. There is comfortability. There's conversations and communication that involves just the act of sex. So when someone is sex positive, there's someone who is completely unafraid to show up in who they are and how they experience the act of sex, and then also just their identity, right? Of sexuality, right? I'm heterosexual, but everyone, you know, if they're LGBTQ,
not everybody is.
And everyone else, like, they're just positive about it and they're comfortable in having the conversations and talking about the realities of their experiences.
What also too is like, what makes me think immediately then, we use the term sex positive. You're someone that has a disability in a wheelchair. Does that come with a negative stigma when you use the words, you know, wheelchair and sexy? Like, is that a negative thing? Like, what do you think the feedback is from the average person in the world when, you know, they think of a person being sexy, but yet in a wheelchair?
Because of the negative conditioning of what people have learned about disability,
right.
As it stands now, it is currently like an oxymoron. Like, there is no way you could be in a wheelchair and sexy, right? Mm-hmm. But that's where a lot of my work comes in, where I'm dismantling that, because at the end of the day, I'm still a human, I'm still a person, and sexy is relative to, first of all, it's in the eye of the beholder. Let's just start there. Everyone's definition of what sexy is different. Mm-hmm. So there's that. But then also it's relative to a human's existence, right? It has nothing to do with devices or where you work, right? Like,
right.
To be a sexy secretary and a sexy nurse and a sexy teacher and a sexy, like, right. Anybody can be sexy. You can be a sexy McDonald's worker. Like, it doesn't matter, right? It's a preference, right? And so the general assumption of someone being sexy in their wheelchair, the initial reaction is, wait, is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about dismantling that initial drawback or assumption that the two can't coexist.
Right. Right. And that's exactly, I think, the perspective most people have. And even those that are disabled or in a wheelchair, right? They're like, well, how can I be that person?
Exactly. And
usually to me, the word sexy and confident walks hand in hand most times, right?
Yeah.
Well, if we're not feeling confident as people, then how can we even achieve them being sexy? And that maybe starts leaking into what you're doing on YouTube and what you're doing with your website, you know, Live Solo, those things. Is that kind of then where you said, hey, now that's where your quest continues? You make yourself known through fashion and being an artist and a talented actress and showing those skills, showing that you can be those things. It seems like you're kind of like putting like money where your mouth is and going, yeah, well, this is how you can achieve that. Am I walking in the right way here?
You are so in the right direction. I would have thought you were in my brainstorm meeting. So,
oh, dang. Yeah.
Like, yeah, like,
well, if you need me,
right, I'll make sure I call.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, but that's exactly what the whole point of it is, right? Is I took the opportunity of my visibility on YouTube and leveraged that into other opportunities, because for me, it was always about what it would mean for the other girls or the other Black girls with disabilities too, and other people with disabilities, to see my representation being translated on bigger screens, right? And so then being able to take those opportunities and be able to take it up a notch with my own personal missions, that's exactly what the whole point of the brand of Live Solo is. Like, I developed Live Solo as a lifestyle brand dedicated to young adults with disabilities who are seeking independence and self-empowerment. And a lot of that does start with, I don't want to sound cliche when I say it, but it starts with the inside, right? Like, you got to do the internal work. So that way, as you're navigating through life in the external sense, you have your tools and your information that you can take moving forward. So that way you can live the life that you ultimately desire. And so Live Solo, the beauty of that, my favorite part about the brand, and mind you, we have a whole 5-10 year plan. So we're just getting started. We just launched last year, September. So the beauty of it is we have this blog section, and the blog is where we have actually asked other people with varying disabilities to write about their experiences, to share their solutions, their hacks, the way they figured out how to live positively with a disability. So that way, if someone isn't a wheelchair user or doesn't have muscular dystrophy, just like I do, but let's say they have food allergies or they're ADHD or they have OCD or any of other varying disabilities, they too can come on the Live Solo website and find articles dedicated to their disability from people who are actually living with it and who have figured out how to do it in a fun and fly way as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vibe of those blog posts are just that. That was, you know, spot on explanation. I mean, the most recent one was about OCD. Yes. The first one was back in July. Yeah. And talking about between July and the most current post, talking about a myriad of different things, just like you were talking about, Lauren. And it's incredible, because it's not just some, man, dare I say it, like a boring website to kind of look, and gives you the same clinical stuff that you're like, oh my goodness, I've seen this before. You want real life authenticity. This is the real of how you would deal with this, or how I deal with it, use it or not. But hey, this is it. And this might be a good tool. And to me, you got to have tools in your tool bag. And this is one of those, I think, that people got to be aware of, especially those with FSH, with this form of muscular dystrophy or any type of disability. This is a big step. I don't know of anything like it that is so, man, it's like, I don't know. It's just more what the generation is now, more thinking forward. It's got a young feel to it. It's like more of a conquering type attitude to it than this is how we cope. You know, no, this is how you conquer.
Exactly. And I love that you said that, and the response of it is very similar to what you're saying. Like, people have really loved that. And I went into building this and even working with my brand managers on this to say, this is not anything that has ever really been done.
Right.
Nobody's doing it in the way that we're going to do it. And it matters that we focus on lifestyle. That's always been my thing. I was like, we can find all the clinical research that's been done, been there, done that, right? We could talk about the problems and the disparities all day long. That's for other brands and other organizations, because we do still need to talk about the realities of it, right? Yep. That's the thing for me, was like, with Live Solo, we're not going to shun away from the reality of living with a disability. Instead, we're saying, hey, here's the reality, but here's the solution on how to do it in a way that still honors the desires of young adulthood, which is independence. It is self-empowerment. It is being sexy, being confident. It's those are the things that matter to us as humans. And then from there, we can grow into figuring out, okay, what, how am I going to get this new wheelchair? Then we'll go on a different website.
We'll go on a website for that. Right. How do I deal with insurance? All that garbage, right?
Okay, right. Exactly. Yeah. Y'all do that over there.
Yeah, y'all do that there. But you need that because life has those multiple things we all have to deal with and cope with. And absolutely. God forbid, you know, we also learn how to cope, but maybe have some fun with it and how to just, you know, live. I think it's a perfect, you know, name for the site, of course. And then piggybacking off of that, talk a little bit about that ebook, that solo system that you had on there. I was like really into that.
Yeah. So the solo system is an ebook that we offer on the store on livesolo.co. And it was my 8 tips and 8 principles on how to live life with a disability positively, right? Because I really, and this was during COVID, like when it really hit at the 2020, I had realized that a lot of why people followed me was because they love my personality. They love, you know, my fashion and all these different things or whatever. And I felt like, well, what can I give back to the community that is the very thing that they like about me? I'm like, I can't give my personality. That's not a tangible thing, right? Like if I could put it in a bottle and have y'all drink it, of course, I want everybody to be like me in the world, right? I think a lot of people would feel that way. Exactly. But I couldn't do that. So I really had to dig deep. Like, how can I give back to the community in a way where they feel like they can just do it the same way that I do, because that's what they keep saying they like about me.
Yeah.
So I came up with those 8 principles to share with others, because those are the principles that I live by. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe if other people saw it in the same way that I did, maybe that could be helpful for them as well. So that's what the solo system is about.
Nice. Now that's not the only thing you're working on, right? I mean, you feel like, I feel like you're a person that's constantly moving forward. Okay, this was good. I want to do this. And then you're probably even already thinking down the line. So you have something else coming in the works too. Is a new book, right, that you got coming up as well. You want to talk about that? I definitely wanted to have you talk about that.
Yeah, so I have the physical book form that is coming out, published book. It's called Access Your Drive and Enjoy the Ride. You can pre-order it now on all of the web, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the things. You can pre-order it now, but it comes out officially on March 14th. Okay. And this book is about basically how to achieve your dreams from a person with a disability. So aside from the solo system, the other thing that I recognized was people trying to figure out, how did you build your career? How did you get into this space? How are you doing it at the scale that you're doing it now?
Yeah.
Truthfully, I don't even know how I'm doing it. I'm just taking it day by day. But I was able to think back on my life and figure out what were those important moments that changed the trajectory of my life in many ways. Mm. And ultimately, when I thought about it, it all boiled down to making a decision. And every big pivotal moment in my life boiled down to me being at a crossroads. Do I go this way or do I go this way? And so essentially the book travels through my life and my different big moments in my life that led me to this moment right here talking to you. And it's about the power of decision making and how you can make decisions even when you're feeling overwhelmed. And to this day, I still have to think to myself, like, okay, this is a moment where I have to make a decision. What do I do? You know? And it just is encouraging people to make decisions in their lives to get them closer to their dreams.
I think I am going to pre-order that as soon as we stop hitting record. So does everybody?
Yay!
Because when you talked about, you said it, and I've said this to people in the past, and the fact that you're putting it in print proves that there, you know, just makes you feel a little validated here. You talked about decisions. Mm-hmm. You know, life gives you, you know, usually you get two, you know, this way or that. Every once in a while, you might get a third option, but it's rare, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you're taking this book and saying, hey, I'm showing you this pathway of my life. The other point is, like, we all see the end result, you know, yeah, as in the outside world, the people that have watched your life, Lauren, from afar, like, well, all of a sudden she's an actress and, oh, she's got a website. Well, that just must have come so easy, right? They don't see the back end work, all the behind the scenes, all the efforts, all the struggles, all the, oh, I missed on that one, but I hit this one right on stride. So yeah. Is that, I mean, you're not just going to paint us this rose colored picture in this book, right? I mean, there's probably some ins and outs, right? And like some of those difficult times.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely touch on the difficult times and the challenges, you know, talking about, you know, taking the bus in the rain to and from work 1 hour each way for what, probably over 10 years, knowing, having that dichotomy of promoting Give Me Liberty and I'm in these dresses and I'm doing this, but when I come back to LA, I'm back on the bus, right? Because there is no accessibility for wheelchair users in big cities like that yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they've made some slight improvements, but not too much. But, you know, and I also talk about a really toxic relationship that I had, mm-hmm, and how even that experience led towards a decision towards my career, right? And I talk about just living independent, trying to figure out when I first moved to LA, figuring out how am I really going to do this? Not having the money to eat, literally knowing that your disability, you need to eat. Like, girl, like,
you still got to survive.
Yeah, exactly. Surviving and all of those different moments. So it's definitely no, oh, it was just so fun. Every time I'm like, No.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
which kind of leads me then to one of my final questions. And this is going to kind of put you a little bit on the spot, but I really feel like your personality will knock it out without a problem. So
okay, nice.
It's like my questions of like the three H's and who's your hero, your hardship, and your highlight?
Ooh, hero, hardship, and highlight.
Yeah. See, on the spot. I know.
Oh my gosh. Oh Lord. And I'm so good and so bad at these at the same time. Okay. I would say my hero. Who is a hero? I have many different people that I admire, and that I look to as a hero. I would probably say the first person that's coming to my brain right now would probably be Rihanna.
Nice.
And I mean, aside from the fact that she's just fabulous in every stretch of the imagination, but I love Rihanna because she's such a rebel in her own right. She's always been very rebellious, always showed up the way she wanted to show up. Her personality has always been her personality. It's never been PC'd and all of that. She's always just been her, which I really, really love. She's always pushed boundaries and taken it to the next level. And I love her entrepreneur side, like the whole Fenty, like she is such a muse in that way of just being able to say, hey, I am this person. How can I continue to give back to the people that love me in these ways and do it in a way that honors their presence and their existence and being inclusive in the real way, not the way that just checks off a box, but in an authentic, real way. Like you could tell it, that is a common thread for her is authenticity. So I love her as a hero just in general in that way. And then Issa Rae, just because she also started in the YouTube world and has exploded to be this incredible powerhouse in Hollywood.
Mm. Good choice.
And so my hardship.
Yeah.
I mean, when you say hardship, that like the person that I love the most.
Well, you know, like, you know, I think some people can phrase it as, you know, something that was hard for you to overcome? Maybe something that was
hardship.
Yeah, like a hardship. Hard. Sorry.
Oh, that's I thought you said hardship.
That's my probably like, my Wisconsin accent. That's where I'm from. So that's the hardship. Yeah, sorry.
Hardship. Ooh.
Yeah. Hardship. You know, like how am I gonna get through this thing? And you do. Yeah. You know.
You know, I've had plenty of hardships.
I bet. Yeah.
In my life, I would say a hardship. Okay. I'll say this. And this is something I've talked to friends about with varying disabilities. A hardship that is also kind of like the motivation of my work too is answering the question of how far can a person with a disability really dream? And figuring out the answer for that and showing that answer through my life's work, because it kind of gets to a point sometimes where no matter how positive I am or how cool or fun and exciting and sexy as I am, if I wanted to go to a particular venue and it's not accessible, it's still not accessible to me.
Right.
So it kind of begs the question of like, so how big are we allowed to dream?
Oh.
And then when you're at the intersection of being Black and disabled, you have the cultural things dealing with the Black community of how big are we allowed to dream when it's already embedded in us that we have to work 10 times harder, be 10 times stronger just to even remotely compare, right? In many ways. So how do you do that with a disability?
Right.
How big does, what does that look like? And so I would say that's probably the biggest hardship right now is living a life that can give an answer to that question.
Wow. And then your highlight thus far, right? I mean, because I'm sure there's a lot more coming.
Oh, so much more coming. highlight so far, man. I would just say like the fact that I'm here is enough of a highlight. Just everything. I'm an author. What does that even mean? Like, where did this even come from? It's like stuff like that. Like that blows my mind. Like, wait, I have a book coming out.
Yes. You're right.
Whoa. Like I have a full blown lifestyle brand. What? Like I literally do things and I just be like doing stuff. And then it hits me like, wait a minute. This is actually a big deal. Yeah.
This is my life. Right. Yeah. This is
my life right now.
Yeah.
So I would just say that, like, just
you're living the high life. Yeah.
The career, sex life, give me liberty, the TV appearances, the this is the that. The fact that I get to live this life is a highlight, which is why I don't take it lightly. And it's important. And that's why I'm like, okay, this mission is serious, it's real. Keep going through it with an open heart and an open mind and being free in the experience as much as I can possibly be as creative as I can possibly be. But just always keep that mission at the forefront. And my whole team knows that. Like, I don't play about that. Like if something isn't in line with the mission, I'm like, I don't care how much the bag is.
Nice.
So I'm that person. So yeah, just everything. That's the highlight.
Last is this has been so much fun talking with you, and it's like the time has gone by, you know, so fast, but I have to ask just this last question, and that's for your perspective for those that, and I have asked this to other guests that have been on, but there's somebody out there possibly listening, watching, that they just got diagnosed. If it's ALS, if it's MD, if it's something that they find insurmountable, you know, that is with them now, it is revealed that they have to cope. What advice would you give to those?
I would first say that it's okay. Everything's going to be okay. Take your time with grappling with the reality of what's going on. You don't have to have it figured out tomorrow.
Right.
Understand that it's an everyday journey. Even for me, there's still things with my disability that I'm dealing with that I'm like, this is annoying. Understand that you've joined a new community that is great, full of amazing, beautiful people, people who are innovators, people who are creative to the max, people who are just incredible in many ways. You've joined them. So congratulations. Welcome. Take your time. Be mindful of the people that are around you, because their energy also is going to play into how well you get to live your life as well. And understand that just because you have a disability doesn't mean you don't have a voice. So really advocate for yourself when you feel like you need to, but also don't feel pressured to be the spokesperson for disability now, because you might be the only person in your community or in your family, right? Be open and honest with how you feel. Know that it's all okay. And it's a journey, but the sooner you can start finding those solutions that will keep you happy, that make you happy, the better quality of life you can have. So visit Live Solo. We've got a lot of resources.
Yes, there you go.
Hate to plug it in.
Yeah, but that's the right spot.
You know?
That's what I would do. Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed it wasn't there, you know, 7 years ago when I got diagnosed. Doggone it, you know, like, come on. But now it's there now. Yeah.
It's there now, and that's the point. Tell your family to read the resources on Live Solo as well, because it's for them too, for them to understand that life doesn't end. Mm-hmm. It's just got a new beginning. So embrace it.
Those are amazing words, and this whole interview has been riddled with them, with great advice. And the thing of it is, you know, thank you, Lauren, for joining us, but it's like, it doesn't end there. You can continue the journey with her. Go to livesolo.co. That's just the starting point. Look for the book coming out March 14th. You can pre-order now. I am doing that. It would be rude if I grabbed my phone right over here and did it, so I'm not until we're done. But believe it, it's going to happen. I think we all need to be inspired. I hope today kind of added a little bit of that inspiration to all your lives. So thank you, Lauren Lolo Spencer, for joining us. Amazing. Thank you much.
Thank you so much. This was a great conversation. Have a great day.
You too.
All right.
That is inspirational. So we're going to take a quick break, and we come on back. We are going to, close up shop and kind of just more or less mull over and try to digest some of that amazing conversation with Lauren Lolo Spencer. You're listening to FSHD Society Radio Show. The FSHD Radio Podcast is brought to you by Fulcrum Therapeutics. Fulcrum Therapeutics is a proud sponsor of the FSHD Radio Podcast. The team at Fulcrum is working to develop innovative therapies targeting the root causes of genetic diseases, including FSHD. As the only company with a drug in clinical stage development for FSHD, Fulcrum is proud to support programs that are helping more people learn about FSHD and the critical need for research that can lead to new treatments. For information and updates about Fulcrum, visit their website at fulcrumtx.com. You can also connect with them on LinkedIn or follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Wow. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. It was incredible. I did not know much about Lolo Spencer before this. It's just been amazing. I think it's on, I know I could probably copy this link here, because they kind of sent it over to me as we were recording this, and I was really excited to kind of see more about the book that she has coming out on March 14th. What I loved about her message was I felt a little bit validated that I'm not crazy. Like these are things and thoughts I've thought about, but just have never maybe had the courage like she has to kind of put it out there. And when I look at the book, it is available for pre-order. Mango Publishing is the place to go. mean, mago.bz. Let's see here. Hoping I could find you a fast link. Maybe we can put it on the show notes for this episode so you can find it. And maybe when this episode finally airs, it might not be, or it might be, you know, out already. But, you know, she shares how she navigates, you know, the life with dealing with ALS. And then now, almost not sure, like, this could be more of a muscular dystrophy issue. How many of us have dealt with that? Or misdiagnosed, or maybe not sure, and it kind of leads you down these spirals. And some of us, and me being guilty is one of them, where you're really going to kind of go off the wrong direction. And she's turned things into a lifestyle brand, how to be more sex positive, sexy, confident. She talked about being, you know, okay, disabled, a Black woman. I mean, all these things going against her, and rightfully so, and still going, hey, I'm going to do this anyway. And, you know, we don't see always the hard work. We always see the reward with people like Lauren who have come out the other side and have created such amazing things. So I'm going to check out the HBO Max show, The Sex Lives of College Girls, and check out her role in there. I do implore you all to check out the indie film, Give Me Liberty. It is very well done. It is a good film. And of course, pre-order the book. And lastly, about the interview, you know, just the whole point of decisions. You know, it is all a decision. It's a decision to go forward. It's a decision to move forward. It's a decision to be negative or be positive. Do you have to or do you get to? It's a choice in your mind. Are you going to listen to your inner voice or your outside voice? You know, one's going to talk to you negatively. One's going to be more positive. For me, that's kind of like I'll talk to myself aloud, even though people think I'm crazy. Granted, I try to do it in more quiet moments, trying to tell myself, no, this is going to be the good thing to do. This is going to be the positive enforcement you need. You know, say it, hear it, understand it. Listen to your outside voice. Don't listen to that inside voice that maybe is giving you doubt, giving you despair, giving you can't. Why can't you? You know, can you be a sexy, confident person and be in a wheelchair? Well, sure, why not? Can you be a sexy, confident person even if you're not in a wheelchair like myself, but yet have these definite physical issues where you can see it? It's how do you do that? Well, it's being a part of also the community. And she talked about that. And when I asked that last question of advice for someone that's recently diagnosed with something, if it's ALS, if it's MD, life-changing. You just joined a community. That's one of the things she said. You just joined a community. That rang just so true to me, because that's exactly how I feel when I'm in within this realm, you know. And further piggybacking that as we close up shop, it's also the fact that yes, we have a community and it's growing all the time in the FSHD society. You know, there's now the Care Partner Hour. There is Women on Wellness. There are Feeling Fit with FSHD community groups. This just goes on and on, what you can find. You can obviously find our platform. There is a Greater Philadelphia chapter meeting there, talked about young professionals there, early onset parent roundtable. That is massively important to a community that's not brought to the forefront. And people taking the courage to be a part of that community, you can join those things. There's so many chapters in your area. So yeah, you do get to be a part of this community. And I'm glad that you're a part of my community. If you want to know more about the show, obviously follow us on Spotify, listen to us there, or any other place that you find your podcast. Go ahead and finding the website before I go here. It is livesolo.co. Visit that as well and know more about Miss Lauren Lolo Spencer, and get her book coming out March 14th. Thank you all. Be well. Take care. Thanks for listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.